even 5 years ago, yeah, we had social media, but not in the same ways where it was being pushed to certain like avatars. They know, okay, single guys ages 25 to 35, watch this. So we're going to put it in front of more of those people. That wasn't happening in the same way it was today. So that is really what has allowed me to grow my business.
Welcome to the Mittland Money Mindset. This is a podcast that's all about getting your mind right when it comes to all things money. In every episode, we go deep with engaging guests who provide tangible takeaways and a whole lot of joy along the way. I hope you enjoy these conversations as much as I enjoyed having them. Let's dive into today's show. I'm Larry Sprung, your host for the Mittland Money Mindset and founder and wealth advisor of Mittland Financial. Today's guest is Blaine Anderson, founder and CEO of Dating by Blaine. Blaine founded Dating by Blaine, an online dating, coaching, and matchmaking service for men. She has served nearly 3,000 happy clients and built a multi seven-figure business in just 3 years. She has done this almost entirely organically through her Instagram, where she reaches over 5 million unique men each month. Dating by Blaine has also been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, and most recently on Shark Tank. Blaine loves to help fellow creators, entrepreneurs, and business leaders grow their organic reach and revenue online. Listen in for some great takeaways about Blaine's journey from an idea that manifested itself while she was attending college to becoming an entrepreneur on Shark Tank. She has learned so much during this period of time and is willing to share it with us. Well, listen, I have the distinct pleasure today of having another Shark Tank guest. As you know, we're big fans of Shark Tank in the Sprung households. I have Blaine Anderson, founder and CEO of Dating by Blaine. Welcome to the show, Blaine. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I don't want to give it all away up front, but maybe you could share with our listeners. I'm always a big fan of hearing about the entrepreneurial journey as far as how and what people were or who they were prior to being an entrepreneur and what kind of led them in that direction. So maybe you could share a little bit about Blaine Anderson and kind of your journey to becoming an entrepreneur. And then we'll talk a lot about what you're doing today as part of the rest of the show.
Yeah. So I grew up in Arizona and I went to the University of Arizona. After college, I moved to New York City, where I started working in the travel industry. And I loved working in the travel industry. I worked in a number of different capacities all around either facilitating travel or operations for trips, selling luxury travel. And when the pandemic hit, I found myself essentially unemployed. I had worked from some startups in the travel space. I had somewhat of an entrepreneurial spirit already, and I was working for myself then as well, but as a contractor for a larger company. So I wasn't out on my own. When the pandemic hit, my business essentially went to zero overnight. And so I was left with, okay, what now? Do I wait for this to pass? There's no end in sight. Or do I try and do something else? All of my professional experience up until that point was in this one industry that had shut down. So it was really scary for me, like looking back at it. I was really nervous. I had moved back in with my parents, real fall from grace at 30 years old. I thought about it and I had always loved giving dating advice. So I love talking about dating. I love talking about love. I love just hearing different people's perspectives. And I had started to help a lot of my friends, particularly my guy friends, with their dating app profiles. So I know you've been happily married for a number of years, so you're not familiar with it maybe as intimately as some people, but when you are online dating, you have to make a profile essentially about yourself. It includes photos. It also includes you talking about yourself, answering specific questions. If you are a guy dating or a woman dating, you are up against hundreds of other profiles that oftentimes end up looking very similar. So how are you going to stand out? How are you going to differentiate yourself? And that's what I was helping my guy friends do. So when I found myself unemployed, I was thinking, okay, what are things that I like to talk about? What are things that I feel like I'm good at? And dating advice was one of those. So I thought, okay, is there a way I could create a course to reach more people at once? Giving one-off advice is really time-consuming. For me to support myself, I would need to charge a lot. But if I compile this knowledge that I'm repeating over and over and over into a video, then I could sell a course on it. And I really didn't know if that was something people would want or be receptive to, but it turns out they are. I found my first customers actually on dating apps. I created profiles and said, I am not here to date. I'm a dating coach. Match with me if you want my free guide on how to improve your dating life during the pandemic. So guys would match with me, and that's how I'd get their email addresses and get in touch with them initially. So that's not how I find customers today, but that is how I tested proof of concept. And it turned out a lot of people were really struggling with dating, especially at that time. So that's how my course was born.
Interesting. So where did the entrepreneurial spirit come from? Like mom, dad, or is just something you were innately born with and kind of developed over time? Where did that stem from?
I think my parents always really supported me in being independent. I'm an only child, so they always had me going off to camp, going on solo trips. Like I've always done things on my own, and they really gave me the confidence to do that. Also, my dad always really encouraged me, rather than you need to do something that makes money or is prestigious. He was always very adamant, if you just study something you're interested in or do something you're interested in, the rest will fall into place. And that sounds very simple. And obviously there's a bit more to it, but I truly believed that. And I think as someone who's really close with my parents and really respected their opinions, that gave me the confidence to go out and try things and do things that didn't necessarily in the beginning have a clear line of sight to being a good career or making money, which definitely at the beginning, when I started calling myself a dating coach and putting out content on the internet, it was really humbling. People look at it now and it's like, oh, easy for you to like put out this content, put yourself out there. You have so many followers. And it's like, not always. Literally in October of 2020, I had zero followers and I started posting content and calling myself a dating coach. So
everybody starts at zero, right? You know, it's not like you have an instant business day one. So and a lot of people don't understand that. Now, I understand this idea came to you while you were at school in Arizona, right? What was the delay, or was there any kind of reasoning behind why you didn't just launch that out of school rather than going into a different line of work initially?
I wouldn't say the idea for the business came to me then, but that's when I started realizing I had a knack for giving dating advice and guiding people through their dating journeys. And I enjoyed doing it, but I didn't think of it as, oh, this could be a career. It just hadn't occurred to me. At that point, being in college, I didn't have the direct entrepreneurial spirit of like, oh, I can start my own business. I simply didn't have the experience or expertise of how to even get going on that, which I developed by working for other people, by seeing other successful people.
Which is not uncommon, right? You have an idea or a thought, and you might need to acquire the skill sets in order to pull off that business and learn from it. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you for, listen, better late than never, right? So it brought you down this path, which is great. So as I mentioned in the opening, my family's huge fans of Shark Tank. We are an entrepreneurial family. My kids have an entrepreneurial bug themselves. I don't know where my wife and I get it from because, well, I guess my dad was a little bit entrepreneurial. He had his own business, but my in-laws weren't really entrepreneurial. But I've had a few Shark Tank contestants on the show, including Brittany Hodak, who's episode 153, Coco Vinny, who was episode 93. He was a double hit because he was on Shark Tank and The Prophet. I always find it interesting hearing their perspectives on what it's like to be on the tank. Because as somebody who watches it, obviously it's a produced show and we're seeing what they want to see. But from your perspective, what was it like to be in the tank?
Actually, it is a produced show. It's obviously for TV, but it's a lot more real than I think a lot of TV shows are, or what you might assume knowing it's a TV show. The sharks really don't know the businesses before you come out there. There is no correspondence with them. They're going in blind. You literally are walking out there and pitching your business. Obviously, they cut down how much time you spend out there into a 10-minute segment. It's different for everybody.
How long were you in the tank for?
I would say it was, I'm not sure, it was like 35 minutes.
Okay.
Cut down to 10. Yeah. Overall, it was a great experience. It felt very bucket list, once in a lifetime opportunity just to be in front of such an incredible group of people and also just seeing everything that goes into putting on a TV show. But it was also, for me, incredibly anxiety inducing. I was so, so, so nervous. But I feel like it came out okay. You know, even afterwards, I definitely am happy with the outcome of the deal. But when I left filming, I thought, what did I even say up there? It wasn't even until it aired that I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Like, because, you know, there's something about when you're being anxious, I think, that you kind of black out.
Yeah.
But it was overall a really positive experience. Everyone who I interacted with was so kind and so sweet and so supportive, and from the makeup artist to the sound people to the producers.
In terms of like you going in, was it something that you were a fan of, that you grew up kind of watching the show and then a bit surreal in terms of actually being there? Or was it something that you knew about, but it wasn't something you really were a fan of and you went on the show?
Closer probably to the latter. Obviously, I knew of Shark Tank, but I hadn't watched a ton of it until it got closer to when I was going on. And then I binged a ton, obviously, because I wanted to, okay, what kind of questions are they going to ask me? Who's who? What do I need to be prepared to deal with? If I'm being totally honest, it definitely wasn't like a lifelong dream, but now it does feel like a big bucket list item checked off my list.
There you go. And I saw the episode. You did a great job. And you ended up getting a deal with Mark Cuban on the show. And we know from our previous guests that although the show airs, you get a deal, it could be many, many months from the time that that show airs and you get the deal to it actually closing. There's a lot of due diligence involved. So could you share with us where you are in the process with Mark and the deal and the investment he was looking to make in Dating by Blaine?
The deal has not officially closed as of today. It is a long process. There's a lot of due diligence. Everyone wants to, on both sides, you know, wants to make sure we're on the same page. But I feel we are at the finish line. So I hope to have that deal closed soon and get moving, rolling with Mark, because him and his team have really been a pleasure to work with thus far.
Awesome. So do you have interactions while the deal is being negotiated and before it's finalized? Do you actually have interactions? Is he actually helping you prior to that? Or does that not start until the deal is actually finalized and closed?
Yeah, the actual strategic partnership and helping grow the business doesn't happen till the deal closes. But I have been in contact with Mark, have a direct line of communication to him. He's incredibly generous with his time and quick to respond to questions or concerns, which the guy's a billionaire with 1,000 calls on his time, people needing his attention to things. So I've just been so impressed about how gracious he is in that regard.
That's great to hear. So let's shift to the business, Dating by Blaine, and how you and what you do for folks. Is there one tip or what tip or tips, maybe a couple, have resonated with most people and found extremely helpful?
A lot of guys who come to me, they're coming to me from a different place. They have a different point A, but they're essentially looking to get to the same point B. They want to feel confident with women. They want to feel like they can authentically market themselves, and they want to meet and date women that they're excited about. A few tips that I have found, maybe I'll give one positive and one that's like a little more negative or like not as like happy, is no response is a response. So a lot of times, if you don't get a response from a woman or she's slow to reply, it's easy to say like, oh, well, make excuses for it. She's busy. She's this, she's that. It's like, no, if she's not responding, that's really what you need to know. This woman is not that interested in you, and you are going to be better off putting your attention and your effort elsewhere. So although that feels like a little bit negative, it is an important lesson to learn so you don't waste your valuable time and energy on somebody it's not going to work out with.
Yeah. Not too much different than business, right? If you have a prospective family or person you're looking to work with and you're reaching out to them multiple times and there's no response, that is a response to some degree, right?
Exactly. And you want to work with somebody who, even going back to like what I said about Mark, he's so generous with his time. He always responds. I wouldn't want to close an investment deal with somebody who I felt like I had to beg for their attention. And the same thing goes with dating. If you have to beg or you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them, that's not going to be a good lasting fit.
Yeah. So as somebody who's made a pivot from being employed, right, especially during the pandemic and then pivoting to this entrepreneurial venture, running a company, what have you learned since you started coaching and dating by Blaine?
Oh, so many things. I feel like a different person than I was in 2020 with the amount I have learned. So let's see. One of the things that has really helped me grow my business is just the importance of consistency. Whether that is posting on social media, whether that is being in communication with my email list or staying on top of my clients so that they get results, consistency is a key across the board. So really just sticking with it. Sometimes that means saying the same thing over and over. Sometimes that means trying to say something from a new or a different angle. But there's not a lot of days off, at least early on growing a business.
I want to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about our latest best-selling book, Financial Planning Made Personal. It breaks down complex financial concepts into simple, easy-to-follow steps that anyone can understand. Everyone has a unique financial journey, and this book can help yours. Do you have your copy yet? If not, please go to financialplanningmadepersonal.com and order one today. And I have one more question for you. What did you do today that brought you joy?
I think that's true of any business whatsoever. And the more effort, energy you put in now, the more benefits you're going to reap later on and well into the future for sure. Let's take a shift for a second to videos, right? I had the opportunity at the end of 2023 to attend FinCon, which is a convention for financial professionals who are creators, whether it be podcasting like we're on now, video creation, because I think video is a very important component of a lot of businesses, especially somebody like yours and you using social media and Instagram. Why do you think your Instagram videos have resonated with so many? And I guess kind of dovetail to that, what can other creators, whether they're in this business or another business, learn from that?
I think my Instagram videos are so popular because they give short, actionable tips. Instagram or short form video is not a place where you want to give really deep, nuanced opinions because it's just not a good platform for that. But if you're giving short tips, like if a girl says this, text her this, that is something that's very easy to save and then put into action later, which I think is why my audience resonates with it and continues coming back for more. But I'm in a unique position where, like you said, to video and how video has helped grow business, my company could not have existed honestly, even 5 years ago, because how I find my customers is short form content. So I rely on these social media apps to distribute my content to new people who would want to see it. And even 5 years ago, yeah, we had social media, but not in the same ways where it was being pushed to certain like avatars. They know, okay, single guys, ages 25 to 35, watch this. So we're going to put it in front of more of those people. That wasn't happening in the same way it was today. So that is really what has allowed me to grow my business.
Interesting. Now, do you do any long form video or is that really just save for your courses and the products you put out?
I have a few long form videos on YouTube, but I haven't been spending time there. My courses, of course, are where a lot of that longer form, more detailed, nuanced perspective comes in.
Interesting. So it seems as we get older, or from what I can tell in my experience, we tend to shy away from thinking that we need a coach, right? People are like, oh, I could do it on my own. I could do this. What advice would you give to someone who's hesitant or even skeptical about hiring a coach?
What I would say to that is, if you wanted to get better in many other aspects of your life, if you wanted to get better at tennis, for example, you could watch a ton of videos on tennis and go out and swing the racket around yourself, and you would probably eventually improve. But a much faster way to get better results if you value your time would be by hiring a coach. And the same thing goes for dating and a lot of other areas as well. It's not that my clients couldn't do this on their own. It's that they want results quickly and that they value their time. So why not talk to somebody who has done it thousands and thousands of times before and gotten similar people proven results? So it's really just about getting better results faster. And it's not that any one person can't do it on their own.
Listen, I agree with you. I think that many people kind of shy away from it. I don't understand it. Like when we're younger and we need help with something, whether it be a sport, in school, what have you, we're learning an instrument, a language, we hire coaches all the time and parents do it for the kids all the time. But for us to become better, let's say healthier, let's say smarter, let's say running a business better, right? These are things that entrepreneurs could always use assistance with. And if you're looking for a significant other, why not dating too? So I'm a big fan of hiring coaches to help speed up that process. Like you said, I also think it helps you. We only know what we know, right? And It helps us alleviate and remove a lot of times blind spots that we may think we're rightfully doing it the right way, whatever that task may be. And there might be a little nuance or a little angle that could be suggested to change that direction as well and make it more successful. Don't you agree?
You are so right. I absolutely agree with that. And especially when it comes to dating and relating to the opposite sex, this is not something that was taught in school. You probably never had training in it. You didn't have someone breaking it down for you. And it is absolutely a learnable skill. So it is not too late to learn it now. Also, in the sense of even looking back, evolutionary biology, we were not meant to communicate in 160 character text and express our emotions or market ourselves. And that's even a development in the last few years. The written word is of even writing generally is only been around for a very short period of time when you look at all of human existence. So then you push that down into like a text message or a dating app bio. It's crazy that anyone is thriving at it. So it makes a lot of sense that people are struggling, and therefore it makes sense to hire a coach.
So much misinterpretation and misunderstanding in writing too, because we always look at those words through our own lens, thinking we know exactly what they mean and how they were intended. And many times they weren't intended or meant the way that we take them through that lens, which is confusing.
Exactly. You lose so much context without tone and without body language and without seeing the person or hearing their voice. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So let's talk about the business for a second. Let's talk to the other entrepreneurs that are listening today. What tip do you have for others that may be out there trying to figure out what their next move is and how to take their passion, whatever it may be, whether it's dating, whether it be photography, whether it be dogs and cats, and turn that passion into a revenue generator? What tips do you have for them?
So I feel like a lot of people will say like, just do it, just make the thing, just go. And yes, like I absolutely agree with just taking a step, ripping the Band-Aid off is an essential part of diving into the entrepreneurial journey. But something a little more granular that I think people get wrong a lot is you need to make sure the thing you are making or trying to sell people want. So I see course creators get this wrong all the time. They create this course and they spend a ton of time and money and effort recording and building this course, and the production value is really high. And it's the course they wanted to make, not necessarily the course people wanted to buy. So if you're considering making a course, my number one piece of advice is sell it first, get people excited about it, and then host it live at least 4 or 5 times, because then you'll be able to iterate on it, add things that were unclear, answer people's questions as they come up. And then once you have a better understanding of who your ideal customer is and what they actually want to see in the course, then take the time to record the course. For 2 years, I taught my course live 4 or 5 times a year. So I literally had taught it over 10 times live before I ever recorded it. And now I sell an evergreen course, and that saves me a ton of time. And it's like become a very great business because of that. But I didn't start there.
Do you feel that most people can turn their passion into a course and be creative in that way? Or is that something that most passions can be turned into, that's fairly low barrier to entry, I guess, and
yeah,
be an evergreen revenue generator?
Most my can't be strong, but I do think the categories and passions that could be turned into courses is vast and wide and probably bigger than a lot of people think because of the internet, because of this short form content. You have the ability to access anybody in the world. So you can have a super niche interest or expertise. And even if only like 0.001% of the population is fascinated by that, that's still a lot of people right. that you theoretically have access to.
Sure. Could be enough, right?
You have to figure out how to get in front of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So listen, as somebody, like you mentioned earlier, who's been married for over 20 years, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this during our time. What tips do you have for those that are in a long-term relationship to kind of make it continue and go from 20 years to 30, 40? We've seen families that we work with where they're celebrating 50 and 60 year anniversaries, which I think is amazing. It's hard to even think about when you're on the dating side, even let alone when you're 20 years in, to think that you're going to be with somebody for 50 and 60 years. But what tips do you have for those that may be in a long-term relationship already?
Well, you've got 18 years of marriage on me, so maybe I should be asking you. But no,
I didn't know if it was in your wheelhouse or not, but I figured I'd ask for the tip. It can always help.
Totally. My tip would be you always should be dating. So continue to date your spouse or your significant other, or your partner. Don't let that spark and that romance slide. So continue to plan dates, get that special treat for them they love, flirt with them, kiss them, do all of the things that gave you both butterflies early on, even if you've been together for 2 or 10 or 20 or 40 years.
Okay. I've worked with my spouse for the last like 5 or 10 years too. So it's kind of unique because we see each other more than most spouses, right? We were work together, go home together. And I guess in this new kind of gig economy, work from home, there are a lot of people, even though they don't work together, that they're seeing their spouses more often too. So I guess it's not as uncommon as it once was maybe 5 or 10 years ago either because of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Thinking about what it was like back in the day when people left their house right. and went to work and then came home however many hours later and didn't see their spouse all that time. It almost sounds crazy to me because my husband and I, since we started dating, have both worked from home. So we've like literally always spent all day together. I'm not going to lie. I think there might be some intrigue. I'm like, wow, what if we like went separate places during the day and then came back together at night instead of eating 3 meals a day together? Yeah. So that's definitely something that I think has changed.
That's funny. So listen, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Blaine. And we end each of our shows by asking our guests the same final question. This is the Mittland Money Mindset. And we're all about joy. And that is, what did you do today that brought you joy and put you in the right mindset for success?
Oh, that's a great question. So I went to acupuncture this morning. I do acupuncture weekly, and it's something I am happy to invest in monetarily and brings me so much joy and peace and just is a really great reset every week. So I love it.
Sounds great. And that sounds like something you probably don't want to watch a couple of videos and do on your own either.
No, I would not feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, sounds very enjoyable and a good way to start the day. And more importantly, the weekend, being that we're talking here on Friday. So
yes,
Blaine, we're going to have all of your information in the show notes, right? But for those people that want to learn more about you, learn more about Dating by Blaine and want to maybe connect with you, what's the easiest and the best way for them to do that?
So you can find me across all social, just at Dating by Blaine and datingbyblaine.com. And I'd love to hear from anyone.
Awesome. Well, listen, Blaine, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate your time. I hope by time the show airs, the deal with Mark is done and we see you as a future Shark Tank success on some of their recaps in the future. We wish you the best of luck with that and enjoy the day.
Thank you. You too. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank Blaine Anderson for being a guest on the Mittland Money Mindset. Blaine has clearly cracked the code for using video and social media to attract new business. All creators can learn from what she has built. Blaine is a true entrepreneur, creating a business idea in college and then executing on it. She has had the unique opportunity of getting on Shark Tank, which, as you all know, the Sprung family are big fans of the show. Blaine Anderson and Dating by Blaine can be found across most social media platforms, and all the contact information needed to find them can be found in the show notes. Thank you for joining us this week on the Mittland Money Mindset. Make sure you visit our website at MittlandMoneyMindset.com and smash the subscribe button so you don't miss a show. We encourage you to help others find our valuable content, and please, don't keep us a secret. You can also schedule an Is There a Fit call right from our website or by using the link that you'll find in the description section of your podcast player or app. And be sure to join us for our next episode to learn more about getting your mind right when it comes to all things money.
The opinions voiced in the Mittland Money Mindset Show with Lawrence Sprung are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. No strategy ensures success or protects against loss. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Guests on the Mittland Money Mindset Show are not affiliated with CWM LLC.